Blog Talk Radio.
One year ago, I was touch and go. Time made me see now the mystery. Taught me that love and time will change your mind and make it right, bring your darkness to the light. My heart sings in the night, my love I bring to you.
Welcome back. My name is Yom Suf Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People Study Show. A show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, a critical analysis and assessment in order to get you to understand the dynamics and the perimeters and the codification and the guidelines therein you can work within that relationship. So his footsteps can become your pathway. And yes, you can't do it all willy-nilly. You can't do it by chance and a happenstance. You have to follow codification in order for the Most High to accept your friendship. Oddly, some people think that they can do that as far as by chance and a happenstance, leaning to their own understanding, as we call it. No, that is not workable. That is not a workable relationship. Don't even try it. And that is one of the reasons why we are into these studies, to understand the workable relationship that will work for you and is acceptable to the Most High, the codification guidelines, perimeters, and so on and so forth. Learn them, exercise them, and use them in order for you to have a meaningful relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Bless his holy name. Also relative to that, as relationships to one another, neighbors, meaning your brothers and sisters. If you don't know by virtue of your studies how to have a constructive and positive relationship with your brothers and sisters, 9 times out of 10, that relationship will be toxic and poisonous. And yes, it's true. The evidence in our community speak for itself, whether those that evidence is internationally or nationally, wherever you hail from. You can see these relationships when it comes to your neighbors, your brothers and sisters. It's toxic and poisonous. It's true. In conjunction with that, it's relationship with strangers, different nations. If the linchpin is not right, everything else will be wrong. You will not have a constructive and positive relationship with different nations because you don't understand the dynamics and perimeters and the confines within those relationships. So that is one of the many reasons why we study on the Real Talk for Real People show. Bless the name of Yah, because we're able to do that in this modern time. Cartrell and I, we're happy to bring these study sessions to you. I saw up the first segment of the study. Cartrell takes up the second segment of these studies. And we're honored and privileged to share in these studies. We're not your leaders. We're not your charismatic leader. Under these circumstances, you study so you can lead yourself. Lead yourself to some conclusion that you need to unite with your brothers and sisters. You need to come together, and you need to codify that relationship with the Most High and seek him wholeheartedly. And seek having a constructive relationship with one another. But you must understand the dynamics, as I said previously, about what the relationship called for. You can't do it on your own. You have to work in color between the lines. You must cross every T and dot every I. You know, we take things quite seriously in this world. More seriously than we take about the relationship of Yah. This is the most important relationship, Cartrell and I know, that you should ever have in your life. And if this is the most important relationship that you should have in your life, don't you think that you should pay more attention to the details in regards to the relationship? I think so. And further along in our studies, if you're just beginning to study us, you will find out too. But before Cartrell and I get started, you know, I like to make comments about ongoing subject matters, contemporary subjects. They are the march of a movement for the rioters that assaulted the Capitol January 6th. Coming up, I believe, Saturday, maybe tomorrow, they're marching in support. They say Donald Trump says there's a two-tier system. Maybe he's looking at it through eyes He certainly is not looking at it through their eyes. He says it's a two-tier system where they are being persecuted for their political rights. I be damned. But here's what I do say in regards to that subject matter. How to stop this madness and this so-called phantom two-tier system in their regard. Treat them just like you would treat someone whom looks remotely like Cartrell and I. That will remedy all your problems with all your nonsense, your lies, and you're falling over your lies. They're being persecuted for political reasons. A lie ain't nothing for some people to tell, right? And did you hear about the doctor down in South Carolina? No, not, excuse me, the lawyer. He tried to set up a scheme where his son could get $10 million. He tried to have a man shoot him in the head, but that didn't work. His wife and son ended up being murdered by someone. They hadn't found out who did that. They had a housekeeper end up dead, so-called falling over on 2 feet. But no doctor or no autopsy was performed on her body and said she died of natural causes. Falling down the staircase, that's natural. Okay. And he's the same lawyer that walked her children through a lawsuit that took him to a friend lawyer and walked him through the detail to sue him. But they ain't said nothing about that. If this same guy tried to do a scheme with a insurance fraud, as far as his own life is concerned, who's to say he didn't do a scheme with his housekeeper and he pocketed the money? Now, as far as his wife and son is concerned being murdered, who's to say he didn't have a part in that? But here's the problem I got with that, because I don't know and you don't know. But here's the problem as far as justice is concerned I have with that. Now, this guy went before the court, before a black face of universal white race supremacy. Yes, the woman looked just like us, the lawyer, who the judge, or whoever you want to call her, on another one of the black faces of universal white race supremacy. She gave him a bond for $20,000. He's out on his own. Now, had there been you and me, now anyone that looks remotely like us, they would have thrown the book at us. As a matter of fact, they have thrown more than one book. It's true. Justice in America, that's what it looks like. A hot mess. Now, last but not least, internationally speaking, there are thousands assembling south of the border trying to get in. Thousands. They last count, they said 9,500 plus south of the border, brothers and sisters, trying to make a way to these United States of America. It's kind of odd, isn't it? You know, it says we can't do anything on our own. Where's the white people? Take me to the white people. Things get better for me. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. You think I'm lying? Okay. Another international case for the reference. You heard about Bollywood in India, right? Bollywood is just like Hollywood, but it's the Indian flavor. Now, if you check the Bollywood actors, none of them look remotely like me and Cartrell. They are Indians of a lighter hue. They don't look like the brothers and sisters here. As a matter of fact, they have skin creamer, skin lightener. You know, as I said, and I will always say, until something comes about different, universal white race supremacy is the most powerful criminal organization, religious organization, everybody wants to be a part of. But Because I know they're not making creams that's like Catriel skin darkener creams. They're not making creams like from Catriel and I, skin darkener. Everybody wants to be like Bollywood. Give me some skin lightener. Let me get close to one of them. So it's like 9,500 are massing on the borders of these United States of America. Just like 60,000 plus are being taken from Taliban country. Come here. They will soon find out this is no utopia. And their bubble will soon burst when they have to deal with the realities of the situation. Either they must continue to become the face of universal white race supremacy wherever they hail from, or their bubble will be burst. My name is Yusuf Arif, and this is Real Talk. Let me bring my dear brother and friend on. Katria, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Bless you, oh my soul. Bless His holy name and all that's within me. Shalom, family. All praise to the whole Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Yusuf Arif, shalom. May the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. I love you. May he bless you and your family also. And relay my concerns to Yimyahu and his family.
No doubt. And my prayers go out to my sister, who's dealing with the COVID. And I pray that the Most High maintains, sustains, and heals her.
Amen, brother. I concur with you. I concur with you on that. And tell your sister I'm praying for her also.
No doubt. Yeah, you said a mouthful, man. People scheming, plotting. And this guy hired somebody to shoot him in the head with some scheme, trying to get $10 million to his son. It's just another case for investigation ID. We see two standards of justice that goes on in America. There's a $20,000 bond. When you get bonded like that, all you have to do is pay 10%, right? And 10% of $20,000 is only
$2,000. $2,000.
And you're talking about $2,000 for a millionaire? You walk around with that in his pocket.
That's chump change.
Right. That's chump change for him. But even in the case of this young lady that's missing, who went out on a trip with her boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. Man, they'd have been had me and you locked up by now, bro. They wouldn't need a body.
He ain't talking to police. He ain't talking to the girl's family. And he walking around scot-free. And like you
said, couldn't have been us,
me or you. What?
Couldn't have been us, Katrin.
Oh, no. Not at all.
They'd have took that pullover by the officers. With me and that woman cutting up with one another, they had to put two and two together and come up with four, and I'd have been right in the jail though. You better believe it.
Well, I know one thing. These European folks, they're so happy and joyful. They got a space program by these private millionaires trying to go to Mars and Venus and Jupiter and beyond.
Right.
I don't know where they're trying to go, but we stray from the earth. The Most High made us from the dust of the earth. And we sure haven't taken care of planet Earth in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why these fools trying to get into outer space and they're so joyful, because
right.
We know that the Most High wasn't displeased when they created the Tower of Babel to get up into
right.
the heaven. So now you got
exactly.
rocket ships and you're all happy and joyful. You celebrating astronauts. Okay.
Yeah, I saw them doing that yesterday, Katria.
Yeah. All that comes with judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, my preference, I'm from the earth, and that's where I'm going to stay. I ain't going to Mars. I ain't going to the moon. I ain't trying to go to Jupiter. Y'all go ahead with yourself.
And Venus neither. Go ahead, country.
go to Pluto if you want to, and take grandma, grandpa, and everybody else with you, too.
That don't mean I'm going to tag along, okay? You better believe it, Cartier, fellow students. Young oh, students not about to go.
How much money are they spending in these space program when people are starving on the earth?
Billions of dollars.
Starving.
Billions.
Could they have helped Haiti with that money?
They certainly could. Haiti would have been back up and running.
Okay.
If they'd have used the money and the power and the expertise to go over there and help set those people right, help set their land erosion because of the lack of timber that had been misused in the forestry that had been stripped from the land, which causes a lot of landslides and mudslides and whatnot because of a poor forestry mismanagement. Yes, they could have planted trees. And 10 years from now, trees would have been growing and would have helped subside some of the mudslides and whatnot.
And what about all the plastic that's in the ocean?
They really need to do away with plastic. They really need to do away with plastic. Mm-hmm.
And clean up the mess they've made.
Yeah, they really do. Because we are custodians of the earth by virtue of Adam. And Adam is the universal father. And he gave Adam custodian over the earth. And so by virtue, that makes us all custodian. If you're sitting on your behind eating bun-buns and cupcakes and making no acknowledgement and regulating your responsibility, your personal responsibility to this earth, this universe, then you are neglected and you have been negligence and agreeing with the mismanagement of this earth.
My heart goes out to our brothers and sisters in Haiti, to the people that's south of the border trying to find some type of respite from oppression and drug dealers and cartels and bloodshed in the streets. My heart goes out to our brothers and sisters in Ethiopia and all those brothers and sisters that's under oppression worldwide, the poor, the needy, fathers, and the widows.
Amen.
I said, y'all rise up and see what's going on in the earth, on planet. And see what the wicked are doing, and come to our defense.
Amen. Sir.
The humble and the meek, because what's going on now, I don't know how much longer y'all could take it.
Cartrill.
Yes.
You know, there was a rapper. And see, people, they get sent out so easily, Cartrill, with those PPP loans. This rapper. This TV rapper, TV star, rapper, reality TV star, was sentenced to 17 years in prison for PPP loan fraud. See, everything that look good to you ain't good for you. I knew they was coming after them folks trying to play with that paycheck protection program. You know, a lot of them were flashing on food book and whatnot, flashing their cash. Boy, because we like to show out. We like to showboat, okay? And so they thought this government wasn't going to come after me. He got 17 years in prison. And I'm talking about fair time.
The government?
Yeah, fair time. And fair time, you do a whole lot of that time, brother. His name was Maurice Fain, like Payne, F, instead of a P, it was P-A-Y, it's F-A-Y-N-E. The 38 was sentenced by U.S. District Judge Mark Cohen on charges of bank fraud and making false statements to a financial institution and what the Department of Justice described as a Ponzi scheme in a statement on Friday. Fain was known under his rap alias, Mo Fain, starred in the VH1 hit reality television show Love Hip Hop Atlanta. According to court documents, Fain ran a multi-state scheme from 2013 to 2020 that defrauded more than 20 people who invested in his trucking business, using the money to pay off personal debts, expenses, and spending more than $5,000 at an Oklahoma casino. Fain also submitted a $3.7 million PPP loan last April to a local bank, falsely claiming that his trucking company had 170 employees, an average of monthly $1.4 million payroll. The reality star used the PPP loan on expenses, including child support, payments, custom-made jewelry, leasing luxury cars, cash withdrawals, starting a new business in Arkansas, the DOJ said. The sentence was should serve notice that the FBI and our federal partners will investigate anyone who misdirects federal emergency assistance earmarked for businesses who needed to stay afloat. Atlanta-based FBI Special Agent Chris Hacker said, we don't tolerate anyone driven by personal greed to pocket American taxpayers' money that should be going to those who need it. Point blank. Go ahead, Contra.
As much as they destroy the government, they're going to single out this brother and make him a scapegoat. Come on now.
But look at Contra.
They still ain't seen Donald Trump's taxes, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But a whole lot of brothers and sisters going to get caught.
Oh, yeah. You know, it was a trap.
Yeah, it was a trap. Yeah. And a lot of them going to the feds. But they ain't going to the state joint where you do a percentage of that time. When you go, and you got a 10-year sentence in the feds, you do 8.5 years of that 10-year sentence. Right. So imagine 8.5 and another additional 7 years. That's a lot of time. That's over 10 years, about 13 years of time, 13.5 years of time you had to do for trying to play with these folks about their money, man. Okay? These folks ain't no joke about their money. That's their money. And you have their money, they're going to come right at you. Believe it. Love hip-hop in Atlanta. Going to be a whole lot of city. Yep.
You can't out slick to slickster.
Man, what you said? Let me tell you something, Cartier, fellow students. If you don't know, now you're finna find out. The worst person to steal from is a thief. The worst person to steal from is a thief. They're going to cry the loudest, and then they're going to come at you. You better believe it. All right. Cartier,
they know all the tricks they're afraid of.
You already know. Been there, done that. All right, fellow students, Cartrell. If Cartrell's done with his commentary, Yum Soup certainly is, and we get right into our studies. Thank you, Cartrell. May the Most High bless us. Turn to chapter 3 of Ezra, the prophet Ezra. They are returning from captivity in Babylon. They're trying to rebuild the temple at the behest of the leader of Babylon. And now they were finna run into some, they finna run into some trouble. And it goes and said, whether you're doing right or doing what Yah tell you to do. It's not going to be easy to breathe. I'm not going to have y'all believing that you're going to be living in fool's paradise. And everything's going to go, yeah, a lot of things going to go right for you. But here's the deal. A lot of folk going to come at you too. Now, you may not be building a temple or whatnot. Maybe you're simply getting yourself together or close to the Most High as far as your relationship with the Most High according to his codification is concerned. Maybe you're simply doing that. But here's the deal. People are going to come at you. Let's study. When the seventh month arrived, the Israelites being settled in their towns, the entire people assembled as one man. They had one, they came in one accord in Jerusalem to do, they had one mind to do what they need to be doing. That was to rebuild that temple. Then Joshua, son of Zozadak, and his brother priest, and Zerubbabel, son of Shephiel, and his brothers, set to build the altar of Yah of Israel. The altar. They wanted to build an altar too. In order to do what? To offer burnt offerings upon it, as is written according to the codification, the teachings of Mosaic. The man of Yah. He didn't have a title. That's what I like about him. He's a humble. He didn't have a special title like some of us tried to get. Simply the man of Yah. And he was good with that, and I'm good with that. That's why I'm simply Yom Suf Arif. That's why Cartrell is simply Cartrell. We don't subscribe to titles. They set up. Go ahead, Cartrell.
So go ahead, we see, that their first priority was to build this altar. And why was the altar so important? So they could offer sin offerings and burnt offerings to the Most High, so the Most High could bless them. Right?
Exactly.
Before they started the work, they wanted to make sure that they were linked in with the Most High Yah. But at the temple in Jerusalem, it wasn't just everywhere. So they rebuilt that altar that the Babylonians had destroyed. That was the first thing, the first order of business, to get right with Yah.
Right. You said it right about that, Cartier. You said it right about that. Getting that set together. Well, Cartier, thank you, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate your commentary. Okay. They set up the altars on its site, its original site. Why? Because they were in fear. They set up the altar on its site because they were in fear of the people of the land. People, they were coming up against them. And they offered burnt offerings on it to the Elohim, burnt offerings each morning and evening. Then they celebrated the Festival of Tabernacles as is written according to codification, with its daily burnt offering and the proper quantities on each day as codified, as prescribed. The word is prescribed, but certainly it means codified too, for it, followed by regular burnt offerings and the offerings of the for the new moons, which we found out were average 12 a year, and sometimes some years 13, these regular burnt offerings. And for all the sacral fixed times of the Elohims, and whatever free will offerings were made to the Elohim. And you would think that only the Levitical priests need to know this. No, not only do the Levitical priests need to know this, we need to know this. And why do we need to know this? Because when they set up the time frame for these things to be done, sometimes our presence was required. And sometimes they wasn't, depending on the festival and so on and so forth. So that's why it's imperative that you know these studies. And so you're just thinking the priest is just doing his thing, but sometimes your attendance were required sometimes. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to make burnt offerings to Yah. Though the foundation of the temple had not been laid, they still know they had to do what they need to be doing. They don't just start till the temple was completed. These endeavors must be partaken of, and irregardless of the temple being built or not. They paid in the land, not anywhere, not in Alabama, not in Texas, not in Oklahoma, in the land, because they weren't doing this in Babylon, okay? They paid the hewers and craftsmen with money, and the Sidonians and Tyrians with food and drink and oil to bring cedar wood from Lebanon by sea to Joppa in accord with the authorization. There was a long-standing authorization granted them by King Cyrus of Persia. No, my mistake. But there was an authorization granted them by King Cyrus, but we're going to come to another reading, and that there was a long-standing obligation, but not this one. This is an authorization granted them by King Cyrus because he was in charge of everything now. And in the second year after they arrived at the house of Yah at Jerusalem, in the second month, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, son of Jozadak, and the rest of his brother priests, they were Levitical priests and Levites, all who had come from captivity to Jerusalem, as their first step appointed Levites. This is one of their first steps. They appointed Levites from the age as they were required of 20 and upward to supervise the work of the house of the Elohim. Yahshua and his sons and brothers, Kimdil and his sons, the sons of Yehuda, together were appointed in charge of those who did the work in the house of the Elohim. Also the sons of Hanada, their sons and brother Levites, all these were Levites. When the builders had laid the foundations of the temple of the Elohim, priests in their vestments, their garments, with trumpets, and the Levite sons of Asaph, the singers with cymbals, were stationed to give praise to the Elohim, as King David of Israel had ordained. They sang songs extolling and praising the Elohim. For he is good, he certainly is, and praise his holy name. His steadfast love for Israel is eternal, and it certainly is a fact. Praise his blessed name. All the people raised a great... His steadfast love for Israel is eternal. It ain't going nowhere.
How long is that?
That's forever and ever and ever, ever, ever. In a day.
Wee.
Yep. All the people raised a great shout, extolling the Elohim because of the foundation of the house of the Elohim had been laid. Many of the priests and Levites, the princes of the tribes, the elders, the old men who had seen the first house, wept, erupted and reminiscent what they knew about the old house, loudly at the sight of the founding of this house. Many others shouted joyously at the top of their voices. The people could not distinguish the shouts of joy from the people weeping. They were so mixed in, you didn't know whether or not they was crying of joy. The crying and the weeping was mixed in together. For the people raised a great shout, a sound which could be heard from afar. And believe me, somebody heard it, and they about to come on the scene too. And if you're living under Yah auspices in your life, and you're weeping and joying in your relationship with the Most High, as you should, and you're lifting your voice with shout, they, come on now, you know they come after the Real People Talk Real People Study Show. It should go with that question in your personal life. Some folk gonna hear you, and you think they're your friends. And some are known enemies. Yes, some are Hebrew Israelites, but they don't know Yah. They don't have a relationship with Yah. They're not within the codification of Yah. They're rebels to the Most High. They will come after you. Your friends, family, or whatnot, they're going to come after you. Even your certain enemies are going to come after you. They heard that shout of joy and weeping from afar, and they're coming, and they're coming for you too. So be rounded and grounded in your understanding of the Most High. These studies will round you out, ground you out, and have you ready to contend with it, every subject matter, especially in view, in light of the fact that you will have joy, you will have weeping in your relationship with Yah. And that goes with that question. And it should be, but they're coming. Contrary, my dear brother and friend, you have the mic. What is your commentary?
The people that was experienced this joy and sadness at the same time, they wasn't worried about the people that was coming for them. The fact that they had not been in Jerusalem to execute Yah's law, when they returned and did it, when they came together in unity as one people, one nation, it was such a feeling that people heard it from far distance. And you know that's how we do, right? We gather as a people.
Exactly.
So this was a joyous occasion because they was in Babylon. A lot of our people say today that while they was in captivity, they was doing the law. They was doing the law. Why are they so joyful now when they were able to return to Jerusalem and begin to build the temple? What was this emotion they were feeling? It was something they had missed because they was in captivity, right? You read it.
Right.
It says, and all the people gave a loud shout as they praised Yah when the temple of Yah was established. Whoa, wait a minute. They should have been doing this all along if they was worshiping Yah. many of the priests and the Levites and the leaders and the older people who had seen with their own eyes the former temple while it was still established were weeping loudly. Now, why would old people do that? Because the temple was shut down for a long time because of the captivity, right? And then when they saw it reopen again, it was like, man, how can I contain my emotions? Knowing that Yah's word is true, fulfilled the promise to them that the temple will be built in that 70-year period, and it was. So the people, they should have been clinging to Yah. It says, many others raised their voices in a joyous shout, because Yah is true to his word. People were unable to tell the difference between the sounds of joy shouting and the sounds of the people weeping.
Exactly. Mixed in together.
People were shouting so loud that the sound was heard a long way off.
Right.
We got those voices that carry, bro. Like, what's
and you
going
know what,
Katra?
Hey, Katra, when you get into your studies, when you get into your study segment, there is a remedy. I'm going to just say that. I'm not going to reveal anything to your fellow students. But your study session, everybody thinks these studies, Cartrell and I, are synchronized. They're not. If they are, it's certainly not by Cartrell and I. But they're by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. If there's any synchronization is concerned, the Most High can synchronize these shows. And it works out rather well. It's called not leaning to your own understanding. And the show works out rather well. I'm sorry, Katya. Go ahead, brother.
But it's really synchronized because people we're reading pretty much lived at the same time or were dealing
exactly.
with the same issue.
Exactly.
And the issue remains the same. Are you with Yah or are you not? Are you leaning to
exactly.
your own understanding, following the ways of the people, you worshiping idols? Or are you loyally serving Yah? Because he said...
Key word, Katriel. Loyally.
Because his loyal to us is how long? Well, he is good. Praising and glorifying Yah, for he is good. Why? His loyal love towards Israel is for how long? Forever. There's nothing that's going to break that. That's why we're still alive. To this day, Yah's loyal love towards Israel. Is our love towards Yah as loyal as his love is towards us? Are we fickle? Are we sometimes? When he loves Yah, when we need him. When we need him.
Well, that's why the Most High said you have to be wholehearted. And your relationship with him, you can't be halfway. You can't be part-time. You got to be full-time about this. You got to be wholehearted.
And loyalty is a stronger word. Wholehearted.
Yeah.
Loyalty is a stronger word. Because if you betray loyalty, that's a major violation, isn't it?
It certainly is. It certainly
I know
is.
Donald Trump was dealing with that problem.
Oh, he still is. Whether he know it or not, he still is.
Wait, is he loyal? Is he loyal to the people that are loyal to him? I don't think so.
Come on,
my hand, Mike Pence.
Stop it, Katya. Just stop it.
Mike Pence.
That man don't even know the meaning of loyalty. Okay, he has no concept of what loyalty is. Conception.
Mm-hmm. How about the Most High? Does he?
Look here. I'm going to tell you this. Or rather, should I say, I'm going to put it to you like that. I'm going to trust the Most High. Whatever. And men like Donald Trump, come on, man, give it a break. I wouldn't trust that sucker to walk across the street behind it in broad daylight. So, but y'all, I'm going to trust y'all come hell or high water. You better believe it.
So, the Most High's love for us is forever, right?
Forever, ever, and ever, 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 in a day.
And where is our love for him? Is it returned in the same loyal fashion?
It needs to be.
It must be.
It needs to be.
Yes. 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 We need to return Yah's loyal love for us right back to him.
And you need
that's
to show it and tell it. You need to show it and tell it. Remember that song? show and tell, just a game I play when I want to say, oh, I love you, show you and tell you. Well, we better be doing some showing and telling the Most High, too.
And that's why these people gave a loud shout, because they knew y'all loved them.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get that same feeling, right? We give a loud shout,
exactly.
Might be crying, tears of joy.
Yep.
Weeping loud when people hear us 20 miles away. Yeah, because we know that y'all loves us, and his love for us is forever. And we love him forever, forever and ever and ever and ever, 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 ever. Yep, we got to return that love, baby. Y'all
exactly.
Love to us. That's why we're here talking on this Blog Talk, Real Talk for Real People show. Even in the midst of substance use by the FBI and the ABC boys.
Exactly. Amen.
Time to love y'all with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might.
Exactly. All right, Cartrell, fellow students. The Cartrell Summit is coming to you. I salute you. And we are preparing to get ready for Cartrell's segment of the study. Out of the songs, which most of you call the songs.
Yes. Give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, for all the writers of the Psalms, our King David, our priests, the tribe of Levi, Asaph, and this is Asaph's song. And put it in the form of a song. I was thinking about that, Yasu. You read the song yesterday, right? It was a short song.
Right.
And most songs, guess what? You repeat the lyrics over and over again, don't you?
Yes.
Because I was listening to the song you played, Message in the Music, and they kept repeating it. Message in the Music.
Nah, 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 nah.
Message in the Music. You just don't sing the lyrics one time. You say it over and over and over again. So you read the 82nd song of Asaph, but it's a song whose lyrics need to be repeated, what? Over and over again.
Exactly.
We ain't going to do that. We're going to the 83rd song of Asaph, another song that's critical.
And let me give you a preview of it. It says, what it says, and I'm not going into this Cartrell's line of work, prayer to frustrate conspiracy against Israel. A song, Psalms of Asaph, the master creator of songs to the Most High. Go ahead, Cartrell.
We needed that introductory title because my book don't have that.
Okay, that's why I gave it.
Read that one more time.
Okay, fellas, put your ears on. Prayer to frustrate conspiracy against Israel. What I tell y'all, the Most High know how to synchronize, doesn't he? A song of Asaph, the master creator of songs to the Most High. That's my add-on, the master creator of songs, which he is a master creator of songs to the Most High.
Yahoo, in a Blog Talk show. Can you hear me? Yes, we hear you.
Are you on a real talk? Yeah, I wanted to get Shalom, Shalom.
May the Most High bless you, brother.
I wanted to chime in today.
I told Cartrell to relay my hellos to you and your family, okay? Well, since you're here, he don't have to do it. I can do it. May the Most High bless you, Yahoo, and your family.
Everything's good.
All right, my brother.
We're just going over some, for this holy time and just, reflecting and getting into scripture and, diving in.
That's a good thing, my brother. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're about to read this 83rd Psalm, bro. And he just gave us the title. One more time, because we got a little interruption there. Because we talk about conspiracies, but conspiracies have been of ancient times, from ancient times, and conspiracies
exactly.
are real.
Exactly. And Cottrell, once you've done your studies and before you do your commentary, I'm going to bring Sister Yehuda on. Sister Yehuda, have your ears on so you'll be able to make your comments, my dear sister. After you do your study and before you make your commentary, I'm going to bring Sister Yehuda on, everybody. She's from Detroit. I email from Detroit. And then she'll make her commentary, then Cottrell will make yours. Go ahead, Cottrell.
Okay, we give praise to the Holy One of Israel for our brother Asaph, the priest, the Levite, who wrote this and informed us about the conspiracy that has transpired against our nation to this day. And he gives us the players who conspired against us, which were pretty much our family from the seed of Abraham and other nations that, you know, linked in with them. But it lets us know something happened to the nation of Israel, a conspiracy, and we'll see. So we give thanks and praise to our brother Asaph, who lets us and informs us of the conspiracy that has transpired against us as a nation. Asaph says, "Not thou silent, O Elohim. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O Elohim. For lo, your enemies make a tumult. Enemies of Israel are the enemies of Yah, and they that hate you have lifted up their head." And that's amazing that people would hate their creator. Nations would hate their creator. But we saw it at the Tower of Babel. They challenged the creator, and the creator had to shut them down. So there are people on the earth who Yah created that hate Yah and hate his people. It says they have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted against thine hidden ones. They have said, "Come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Yisrael may be no more in remembrance." And that's a critical verse, because actually World War III hinges on the fact that the name of Yisrael has been lifted again by people who are not really Israel, which is why you have the Israeli-Middle Eastern conflict. They made this conspiracy to shut the name of Israel down, that the name of the nation of Israel will be no more in remembrance. That's why our people can't remember who they are. You ask our people, who are they? You say they're black, Negro, colored, African-American. We have no remembrance that we're Israelites. Our slave ancestors knew who they were. That's why they sing about, "Go down, Moses. Rock my soul in the bosom of Abraham. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming forth to carry me home. I looked over Jordan and marching to Zion." All these songs Jewish people didn't teach us. They didn't teach the slaves, what they call them, Negro spirituals. The Negro spirituals that the slaves sang, nobody taught them. It came from their heart. And they sang songs like, "Go down, Moses, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And we marching back to Zion," and so forth and so on. You could do the research. But our enemies cut our name off, which is why we carry our slave master's name to this day. We speak the slave master's language, and we worship the slave master's religion. They have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against us. Against you, Yah, the tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites, of Moab and the Hagarim, Geba and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines, with the inhabitants of Tyre. So it was a global conspiracy that was hatched immediately by our family, because Esau is our brother, Ishmael is our cousin, as are the Moabites, the Hagarines, and the Ammonites. Amalek is our family. The Philistines are Hamites. And the people of Tyre are the Gentiles. Ashur also is joined with them. We have to find out who Ashur is. I'm pretty sure they're Shemitic, Babylonian people, people from what they call the Middle East, is also joined with them. They have hope in the children of Lot. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as to Jabin at the brook of Kishon, which perished at Endor. They became as dung for the earth. So Yah deals with our enemies when they try to supplant us or destroy us. Make their nobles like Oreb, like all their princes like Zebab and Azamuna, who say, let us take to ourselves the houses of Elohim in possession, which is what they've done, which is what they're fighting for in the Middle East. They're fighting over Jerusalem. Donald Trump played a part by making Jerusalem the capital of Israel, and it upset the Ishmaelites, who are holding down Islam and the doctrine of Muhammad. So these possessions that they're fighting over actually belong to the creator of the universe and to the children of Israel. O my Elohim, make them like a wheel, as stubble before the wind, as the fire that burneth a wood, and as a flame setteth the mountains on fire. And we've seen plenty of mountains on fire these days, especially out west, and in Greece, and in all these other European places, how the Most High can set mountains on fire. So persecute them with thy tempest. You know, the tempest is the wind, the whirlwinds that we call hurricanes and tornadoes. I'm afraid of thy storm, and they're fearing Yah's storm right now, aren't they? Texas and the Gulf Coast is getting battered again, ain't
you
they?
Better believe.
Yeah. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name, Yah. The nation seeking Yah's name? Not yet. But if Yah keep battering them with storm, they're going to keep saying it's an act of God. We got to submit. We got to find the true and living God. Because ain't nothing they can do when these storms and hurricanes of biblical proportions come through, right?
Yes.
Let them be confounded and troubled forever, which is what they are. He got them in confusion, confounded. They don't know how to deal with COVID, the virus, in addition to the battering of biblical proportion. They're getting through storm and fire and earthquake, and we're seeing all these things right now. Yah is responding. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea. Let them be put to shame and perish, because they need to be put to shame. They need to be put to shame and perish, because they ain't going to do nothing for them young gymnasts that they let the doctor molest for, what, 20-some-odd years? Or any other pedophiles that they let roam in the earth. Let them perish and be full of shame for the things that they do. You're trying to teach your children to be LGBTQ. They could choose their gender. No, Yah created male or female from birth. And that's how it should be. You shouldn't be confusing the mind of children who shouldn't even be thinking about those things. So shame should be on these people, and they should perish, that men may know that thou, whose name is Yah, art most high over all the earth. Yeah, Yah is the creator. He's the owner. He owns all people, all nations, all tongues. And he's going to make his presence felt. So this plot, this conspiracy that they plotted, it didn't work, because we're here now, and we know we're Israel. So the name of Israel is still in existence, and we're claiming it. We are Yisrael. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, y'all. Let me introduce to you Sister Yehuda of Detroit. Sister Yehuda, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Sister Yehuda, may the Most High bless you. Shalom.
Thank you. That was powerful. I apologize to you because I meant to come on earlier. But I had a personal trauma. But listening to you, Moray, really has encouraged me. There's people today has encouraged me. And like you said, we are being attacked. And like you said, on a wide scale, the Most High is taking out, is doing what he does. And I have to be reminded that I give him the glory to rely on him. Because when you're nice to people, when you show kindness and people think it's weakness, I asked my son for good advice. He gave it to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even your own family will turn against you. If you haven't taken the COVID shot, you can't come over.
Wow.
If you need help in ways that, you know, you would expect some kind of help and they turn you down.
Wow.
People don't know what I've gone through. People want to move me from my home.
Mm-hmm.
When I told them 2.5 months, I'll be leaving.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to kick me out by October 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have the authority.
Don't let
the Most
do it,
High
mama.
Have the authority. You know,
yeah, don't let them push you around, okay?
And because they're not the landlord. I talked to the landlord, you know. And I filled out my papers. I did all I'm supposed to do. And I'm waiting on the Most High, whatever his will is. Because I want to cry a river. You know, my heart still go out to people that are struggling, but I have my personal struggles, and I need the prayer and I need the encouragement because I'm being attacked.
Right.
You know,
can you
my son
use 91st Psalm?
Huh?
You use that 91st Psalm?
Right. Yes.
Got to use it.
Yes. You got to know it. You got to believe it. You got to feel it. You got to know that the Most High is with you. You can't no doubts. But I'm human. I'm being attacked. My son said, if there's any violence, call me. Because I asked him some questions. He said, shouldn't be because they don't have the authority in your own family. And I'm tired of people questioning. No one should be homeless. No one should be put out. We as a people need to start working together to help and support one another.
We just said that, Ima. Before, we came from Ezra. And we
right,
were saying,
I read it, yep.
Right, when you do what's right, and, you know, they were weeping and joyous, and people heard them from afar. Well, folks coming. Folks came to our brothers and sisters by listening to their weeping and joyful noise. So with your life exhibiting that weeping and joyful noise, folk will come at you. They come out to Yom Su. They come out to Kartrell. They come out to Yom Yahu. They come out to Abiyah. It's just the nature of the business we in, especially when you're in a nice right.
Yom Su.
Yes, ma'am.
See, what was recognized today, and I want people to listen. No one has a time limit on when you mourn of somebody you love.
It's true.
You can know something, but once it's pointed out again, for example, when they say regentrification, people can talk about it and talk about it, but when it happens to you, it hits you.
I know from personal experience, right?
That's what I'm saying. I'm doing from personal. Not only that, but I went to the doctor today, got good ratings. I'm losing weight. I'm doing all what I'm supposed to do. She put me on vitamins and everything I need. And she said, you don't need to take the shot. She said, just be wise. She said, people who don't go many places, they don't. Just take care of themselves. And just wear the mask. Even if you don't think it works, just wear it and just use proper hygiene.
Exactly.
So, because, you know, I got pressure. No, you can't come over here if you haven't had a shot. I'm going, what? This COVID thing is breaking up families.
Right.
It is causing all kind of friction and chaos. Like Moray said, you can see the chaos in people. People going mad, people doing stuff. Anytime someone's going to shoot 120 gunshots in a house because of a high school dispute, and one of those bullets hit a three-year-old, you're dead. See, we know this is horrible. But even with my situation, I'm going to rely on the Most High. And I'm going to take the advice because it's good to take advice from young people. He said, do not continue doing what you're doing, your little packing, your sorting out and everything. And I said, you know, I'm looking forward to this move. And when my doctor said, you know, even though it's been a few years your mother has died, y'all were buddies.
Right.
He said, it doesn't matter if it's a sister, a brother, a husband, a wife. When you lose that person, that income leave, the half of that income leave, and a lot of your support.
Right.
So I've been let down by people, and the Most High let me see, rely on me. Now you see, these people aren't worth nothing. They ain't going to help you do a dang thing. Rely on me.
And I'm glad you made it on Ema because of the fact the listeners and the students need to hear what you're saying. Okay? Go ahead.
Did you read the third chapter of Ezra?
Wait a minute. I thought y'all went to the third. You the first one?
No, we read the third chapter today. Right.
You read the
which
third
led,
chapter?
Yes, I'm at the third chapter of Ezra.
Yeah, which led Wait into... Right.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'll be quiet.
Which led into that song by Asaph. The Most High synchronized because he knew you needed this information. Not only you, Imam, but a lot of brothers and sisters need to hear what you have to say because you needed this information. They need this information. We all need this information. The Most High synchronized this study because, contrary, we don't collaborate for what's studied on.
Right.
We just break out the maps and study. But the Most High synchronized the study, and one supported the other.
In a synchronization of this study, if you read the book of Ezra from chapter 1, King Cyrus opened up the door for the Israelites that were in captivity to go home. Did all of them go home? No.
No, they didn't. Come out the king from Persia.
The king of Persia, King Cyrus, told Israelites in captivity under the Babylonian captivity, who he had just conquered, you could go home and rebuild Yah's temple if you want. Did all of Israel go home? No. Who went home? The stout-hearted, holy, bold Israelite, the ones that were fearless, because they knew what kind of threat they were going to be under. Because they knew what had happened to Jerusalem. They had set up all kinds of shrines and altars and idols. And going back and reestablishing Yah was going to step on a lot of toes. And we read that. They stepped on a lot of toes. But they did it anyway because Yah was with them. But they had the holy bowl spirit that Yah gave them because Yah stirred them up. Not all of Israel, just certain spirits. And the fact that they went on that mission and were successful, that's why they cried shouts of joy and tears of weeping because Yah gave them the power to do what he told them to do by way of King Cyrus. Go back and build my house.
Yes, and they said they responded by praising. Yes. They responded by praising, giving thanks to our power, for he is good, for his kindness towards Israel is forever.
Everlasting. So what happened for them can happen for us too if we return that love. If we come together, because it ain't just one individual that did that, right? Yeah, I love the fact that all of them came together. The fuse that came out, that their hearts were united, and they were holy, bold, and determined to do Yah's will. And they were blessed with protection, because they were carrying a lot of sustenance, and they could have got robbed along the way. But they were not robbed along the way. We'll see in the story as we go along. They were harassed, but the Most High protected them, and they completed the task that they set out to do.
Yes, they did. But, you know, let's look at reality right quick. The reality is we're scattered, not to defeat or denote or take away or add to the scripture. We have to be mindful to help people to relate for today of the scriptures, and it can be done without taking away or adding. Because we're so scattered, because, see, this is a time when they came back and the king allowed them to build their temple, not the temple, but the main hall, they call it. And after the order of David, king of Israel, after the order of it, and of course they responded with praising. And then, because I read even further, chapter 4, that they were together. And even though it gives example after example that people swayed away and all of them started to, you know, like we're here in this nation, we're going after idols, we have to be mindful of our circumstances today and learn how to apply what we learn through the scriptures to bring it out in our character.
Yes.
And sometimes it's going to be to other people obscure, just like I'm not the type to want to start anything with anybody. I'm not the type to go against this law, and the laws that I know that I can do through the scriptures that is allowable, I do them to the best of my ability more so. And that's the kindness, and that's the giving. You know, even people who are homeless, not all of them are crazy on drugs, that have given, may have their last sandwich and break that half the last sandwich, you know, or that $2 or that $3. And how much more when we complain, if we got a home, we got a television, we got phones, we got a car. And I'm not saying sometimes that car don't break down. I'm not saying you don't have a leak in your house, you know. or maybe you didn't get that paycheck, or somebody messed up on payroll. Those are issues, yes. But there are people out here are suffering. That just like in the scriptures, even the righteous were carried away. Even the righteous were killed. Because he deals with us as a nation. Until we start thinking nation-minded wherever we are, just like I'm not going to watch somebody abuse somebody else, even though I use wisdom, if I decide to intervene. We got to stop being afraid to help, to assist, but with wisdom. It's okay to talk scriptures. It's okay to say the Most High. But we got to start living it, really be a witness to the trials and tribulations that we're going through and how the Most High pulled us out of it or pulled us through or help us to understand, to be better. He wants us to be better. He wants us to only rely on him, and it's freedom. People don't realize it is freedom. And what I'm going through, I'm still calling on the Most High. I'm still pleading with him to help me to be patient, to help me to see my wrong, to help me to be a better person through what I'm going through. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, Katria, ask Yimyahu, do he have a commentary on what we're saying?
Yes. Definitely, it's a lot of fire in the room, in the atmosphere. I was meditating on Isaiah 58 and how, you know, we have to do more for the poor, needy in our nation, and we have to really, like the teacher was saying, it's really time to activate and combine our resources and be able to feed ourselves, and it's time for the next level of nation. People out here, we're really seeing the true family of the Most High, our family that genetically may not be the people the Most High is choosing. So we have time to really hone in on the real. It's entering that time. It's just, you tell by the signs that he's near. The whoredom, the harlotry, the abominations, just everything that's going on, and COVID forcing around people, and it's in the so-called forcing around people. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's very intense right now. So
yes,
also a blessing in disguise. You know what I mean? I look at the blessing in disguise. It's time for us to really, who's really in it? Who's in it to win it?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Because you're only human, brother. We all are. And we have to encourage one another. We don't know the trials and tribulations unless we talk about it. And everyone on this phone, I'm sorry I don't know you. Shalom, brother. I know for a fact what Kyle's done, what Shalom, what Yom Su has done to help. And I'm not saying it's always going to be in a consistent, just one person. Let's not look at what somebody is doing and not doing. Let's just do it. But I always say with wisdom. You know, as simple as somebody drops something, we hear it is. Some people drop a wallet and people say, oh, I got some money in that wallet. Give the person the wallet. Simple as that, opening the door, anything that sparks to move your heart to inspire and help, not just words, but action. But the Most I want us to be wise, not to be hesitant, but use common sense. If you see an accident and you're there and a few others and the car is on fire, but you know people in the car, you might be hesitant because the first thing you're going to think, will I blow up with the car? You see what I'm saying? But you seem towards the people come and hurry up to get those people out of there and just make it in time. It's got to be your choice. These are the examples that I use to compel people to think that you can't be selfish. But you got to take care of yourself, of course, first. You got to, the way this land is, you got to pay bills, got to have food, shelter, et cetera, and so forth. And we can talk all day long about how the food is and the this and this and that.
And even that right there, that might, you don't have to have that. The Mormons, the Amish, there's tons of people who are out in America that live off the land. You know what I mean? So even that mindset, we have to as part of the commands of the Most High. He told us to separate. He told us to gather. He told us to plant our own gardens, plant our own vineyards. You know what I mean? That's part of the commands. Dig our own water wells. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Teach our own children. You know what I mean? That's we can do that now. We have no excuse. You know what I mean? It's about us coming together, everybody humbly playing their part, everybody coming together and understanding the nation. One of the main curses is we don't know who's who. So it'd be easy, Mordecai Joseph, the son of Joseph, and Yamsus, the son of King David. And you know what I mean? It'd be easy to be like, all right, well, let me get him on. You know what I mean? So in that saying, we have to come together, understand that I love my brother like I love myself, and be able to see what the skills each other has, and be like, well, brother, you, these are your skills. We need to have you doing this. And cause, you know what I mean? That's where we start to look at ourselves differently and understand I need my brother. I'm a blue bird. I got to be with blue birds. That's how the Creator created me. You know what I mean? So just that concept in itself is what we really have to
Let me say something right quick, and I'm going to be quiet. What was interesting today with my son, someone he grew up with is Israel, number one. Number two, it's another man who is a police officer. My son is a police officer, a corporal. And he said, you know, Ma, there's more Israel here in Detroit, I found out, in the police department. Israel now, you hear me? Israel. And I said, you know, I knew there were a lot of people, but I didn't know relation to the police department. He said, yes, it is. He said, you have one in Israel to come and pray for these young and for these police officers. Calm with the people and know these are your people and to deal with them accordingly is different. And it surprised me a bit because I realized that we're growing. And it's a lot here in the city of Detroit, no matter what you hear about Detroit. So I was just going to share that I was surprised that we are growing.
Our people are going to face the same tests that we faced as we read the book of Ezra. King Cyrus allowed all the Israelites to go home and build Jerusalem and build Yah's temple because he was commissioned by Yah way back when Isaiah, 150 years before King Cyrus was even born, the prophet Isaiah prophesied that King Cyrus would come and allow the Israelites to go home and build a temple. They were so comfortable in Babylon that only a handful compared to the number that was in captivity, went to build the temple and restore Jerusalem. And the Most High gave them strength and power, even though they were few in number compared to the whole nation, to accomplish their mission. But they couldn't have did it. They couldn't have accomplished anything had they been thinking like we think now as individuals. They weren't thinking individually. They were thinking collectively. And the Most High is giving us the opportunity while there is time, because his command is for us to gather ourselves, to flee Babylon, to separate ourselves. And like Jeremy Allen said, we need to teach our own children. We've been giving our children to the hyenas, who's teaching them false doctrines and false religion and false practices. And what are we teaching them? We don't have time to teach them because we're working on a plantation. And therefore, our children are what?
They're out of control.
But it's time for us to come together, like the people in Ezra that were in captivity, because the Most High is affording us the same type of opportunity. You may not be directly back to Jerusalem, but he's affording us to come together ourselves together on our own, rather than by force.
Right. It might be by force.
Some people are going to wait till it's by force. But the willing hearts are going to be like the people in Ezra. They're going to take the initiative and just do it because y'all commanded us to do it.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Yemayahu, do you have any closing remarks for Ima Yehudith?
Just to say it was nice to hear a young man, I guess young, well, I say young, on the line. And
well,
I hope that...
Cottrell sound young. He ain't young. How you know
well,
you
I know Cottrell.
I thought young. Yeah. I thought Cottrell when I first heard him. I said, well, sister, who brought me this boy? I found out he was older than me.
We joke. Yeah, the young man is on the line. We joked with Yahoo because he's just a few weeks younger than us. We're all the same age, and we just joked with him and said he ain't an elder yet to his birthday.
he still ain't kept up with us.
Still lagging behind.
And trust me, in the eyes of Yah, guess what? We are all infants.
We know.
That's why he calls us children.
Yeah.
So I'm not old. I'm an infant.
Right. Truth be told. But I told you when I first met him several years ago when he started on the show, Yemayahu, and I heard him talking.
Mm-hmm.
And Sister Yehudith had recommended him. I'm listening to him. I said, man, where'd she get this kid from? I would listen to what I knew he was talking deep. I said, man, I don't need a little kid on this show. I need an elder.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out, man, I had to bet out on that with Yemayahu. Because he was talking deep. But if you listen to his voice, if you listen to Cottrell's voice alone, you would be thinking, no, what did he get this young cat from? You know what I mean? But when I found out he wasn't a young cat, and his wisdom far exceeded a lot of brothers and sisters. But that worked well for me. He's a blessing to the show. And certainly you are too, Yemayahu, when you come on.
Yes. But
I appreciate that.
I feel to look after our people regardless. See, the thing is we need to learn a lesson. We all have trials and tribulation. And I care for my people. And I feel more people should be on this line because it's not about what you don't like. It's the fact it's a venue that you can express yourself as long as with respect. And people can be build up.
We just
got to
take it to the next level.
Right.
Imagine doing this with everybody on the call living together, what we're doing. We're all on the line projecting to the people. And we're all separated. We're sitting down. Just pick some grapes. We're eating grapes. We just picked freshly from the garden. And you know I mean, we have to, you know what I mean, come together on the call. You know what I mean? The people on the call, we got to come together first.
Yeah.
You know
and
what
it's,
mean? Little
it's
by
not
little.
Just for expressing yourself. We're all in pursuit of immersing ourselves in the word of the Most High.
Exactly.
That's where our power is. That's where the power is. And that's where our future is. And we don't know Yah's plan, which most of us don't. Most of us don't know Yah's plan or Yah's intent or Yah's command. That's why we put this show on, so we can expose what Yah's telling us to do.
Exactly.
I always find it very particular. The most I said, little by little, I must not consume them at once. I always found that very particular in the way that you want to be consumed by the Most High. Consume me at once. It's just, can we handle it? Consumed by the Most High. You know what I mean?
The Most High doesn't consume you. The Most High Spirit comes mightily upon his people.
Right.
And if you're not prepared for it, it's going to kill you. If you prepare for it, it's
going to
be like Shimshon. You're going to be like the mighty men or the prophets when the spirit of Yah comes mightily upon you. But you got to be prepared for that.
Because, I know
you got to be prepared.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I know each of you recall.
Little by little.
Right. Well, I know each of you recall our nation didn't want to hear Mose anymore. And they said, we don't want to rap to you, man. I mean, we want to hear Yah. And when they heard him, they really didn't want him. They run off. They couldn't handle
it. Exactly. They were consumed. They were consumed at once. That's the,
right.
But you want to be consumed at once by the Most High Spirit. That's what the same show. That's what you want. You want that power to come mightily upon you. but you got to be braced for it. You got to be prepared for it, too. So we want when the Most High comes down, he said he's going to knock down the mountains. We want our spirits to be prepared. What did he tell us to do? This is what he told us to do. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no we can't. There's none of that. We have to be warriors, not soldiers. Warriors. The difference is a higher class of soldier. You know what I'm saying? We gotta put it all our heart, soul, and might into it.
Right.
Be waking up. You know what I mean? Every day we gotta be moving towards the mission. I got it this year. I gotta be focused on. I have to be separate. I gotta be living in the truth fully in my whole environment. I can't be living in Babylon. Yeah, it doesn't mean I don't visit Babylon to try to save my people, but that's what I'm going to Babylon for, to save my people, not to be immersed in it with my people. I got to help
in their culture, right, in their culture. You're not going to be immersed in their culture. You're going to expose people to their culture because we seem to think Yemyahu, Imam, Yehuda, and Cartrell, that so-called black culture is our culture. That is not culture. That's a hot mess. That's why it's called black. It's dark. Okay, we need to learn what real culture is, and learn to immerse ourselves into what that culture. And just like Ema said, and that culture is taking care of one another, looking out for one another, motivating one another, encouraging one another, cutting your tools and fuse with them. Not just talking about I love Yah, but exhibiting the love for Yah for you through your brothers and sisters that you have for Yah, and that's practically the only way you can show Yah that you love him by exercising that love towards your brothers and sisters.
Black culture, black culture is Western culture superimposed upon us. It's our interpretation of Western culture.
Right.
Exactly.
It's not our culture.
A hot mess.
Because our culture would be similar to the Taliban. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Our culture would be similar to the Taliban. A moral culture.
Right.
Western culture is totally immoral. Totally immoral.
Right.
Every law that Yah made, they got a law that opposes Yah's law.
Mm-hmm.
So when Yah say men can't sleep with men, they say men can sleep with men. When Yah say man can't marry a man, they say man can marry a man.
Mm-hmm.
Everything Yah said you can do, they say you can do. And
that's what they say we can do,
as opposed to what Yah told us not to be doing.
Right.
So
that's why you
got that dilemma.
Right. Russell Westbrook all around with a dress on. Come on, man.
We don't understand that we have the same powers as the Taliban. We don't have to accept Western culture in order to be successful and prosperous. We think we need Western culture to be successful and prosperous, but in actuality, we really don't. Matter of fact,
you're right.
Western culture has kept us strictly on the bottom, the tail, and not the head.
Exactly. Everything.
We don't own the buildings. We don't own the stores. We don't have our own schools. We're still subservient after all these years. 400 years we've been here, and we don't own property. We don't have our own schools. We don't have our own businesses. We don't run certain things. We don't produce anything. We're still slaves.
Truth be told.
We need a job.
Cry out loud. Cry out loud. Do not stare. Lift up your voice like a ram's horn. Declare to my people their transgressions and the house of Israel for your cold, their sin. Yet they seek me day by day and delight to know my ways as a nation that did right. Did not forsake the right ruling of Elohim. He said, yet they seek me day by day and delight to know my ways as a nation that did
not as a religion. Not as a religion. We need to know Yah's ways as a nation. That's why we study the way we study it. Because the Most High is involved with our nation. And it has nothing to do with religion.
Nope.
It has everything to do with everyday life.
Yes.
And it certainly
doesn't have anything to do with an individual.
Nope.
It doesn't have anything to do with religion or a charismatic leader. It has to do with a charismatic nation.
Yes.
Not a religion or a charismatic, I'm going to come save y'all. Individual. It's about a nation.
And we can see in the book of Ezra, when they came out of captivity, the first thing they took care of was the altar because they had to get it right with Yah. We need to offer these offerings for the sins that we've committed before we do anything, right?
Exactly.
They had to repent. And Yah is telling us to do the same thing. Humble yourself, return to me, seek me daily, and repent for what your fathers did and for what y'all are doing right now. Because y'all ain't really following me.
And the location was particular, too. It wasn't in your backyard. It wasn't in Alabama. It wasn't in Mississippi. It wasn't in New York City. It wasn't
right.
in California. That altar was specifically located, indicated, and told you what to do with it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They put it back in the original place that King Solomon established it for when he first built that temple. He's going to put the altar back in its original place.
Exactly.
That's what they did.
Yep.
Right.
The altar was outside the temple. The altar was outside the temple. It wasn't inside the temple. The altar was in the courts where the people were. Only the priests and the Levites could go inside the temple along with the king. The people couldn't go inside the temple. They could go in the courts, but they couldn't go in the temple.
Exactly. Well,
remember when the king went in there? And was burning incense?
Right.
What happened to him?
Exactly. Exactly.
He died, didn't he?
He
died
leprosy.
Of leprosy.
He got leprosy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Don't remember what's going
on. Well, Yehuda, what is your closing remarks?
I'm thankful that I came on late to hear a new voice, to me a new voice, with soundness in his voice. And positive direction with the Most High. And I thank both of you for allowing me to come on at such a late day. I apologize. I had some family issues. And I'm learning to rely more and more on the Most High, not on man. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Hallelujah. There's no apology needed, Ema. You're part of the team.
Okay.
Yemyahu, dear brother, what is your closing remark?
What is your brother?
What is your closing remark? Your closing remarks?
We just got to keep striving for what the Most High wants, not what we want, not what we've done in the past. Not, you know what I mean? It's really honing on what we have to do in these days and time now. You know what I mean? Really lock it in. See,
Amen.
The time for everything. Time to kill, the time to eat, time to hunt. Time to heal, time to, you know, it's a time. This is the time of separation, gathering, really honing in, helping the poor and the needy.
Okay. Well, thank you, Yahoo. Thank you very much, brother. You're certainly right.
No doubt.
Katriel, my
Shalom,
dear brother. Shalom, family. Katriel, my dear brother and friend, what is your closing remarks?
My closing remarks are that Yah is good. And that his love for Israel is everlasting. And he's given us the same opportunity that he gave our ancient fathers in the time of Ezra under the authority of King Cyrus to separate from this captivity. And there's going to be some Israelites that do and some Israelites that don't. We're looking for the holy, bold spirits like we read about in Ezra so that we can invoke the powers of Yah for in behalf of all of our people, that Yah would act as we read in the 83rd Psalm, that he would confound our enemies and send out his forces to destroy the wicked that plotted and conspired against our nation. But we got to be loyal in our love to the Most High. And we got to take these lessons very seriously. And we have to learn Yah's modus operandi. And Yah showed favor to our ancient fathers when they came together. He gave them strength, might, power, and protection as long as they obeyed him and followed his word. So we're trying to follow that pattern. We're being in Ezekiel with Ezra and Nehemiah, the people that were loyal, dedicated, and gave Yah that love back that he has for us that's eternal. Our love has for Yah has to be eternal, like his love is for us.
Amen, brother.
If you don't love Yah, then you're in trouble.
You better believe it. All right. Gartrell, my brother and friend, thank you very much. I want to thank Sister Ima Yehuda from Detroit, Brother Yemyahu from Arizona, Gartrell from New York City. I want to thank you, fellow students, for joining with us to do these studies to understand the Most High, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Those out there whom are leaning to your own understanding, may we make a suggestion? Stop doing it. It's not cute. It is not working for you, and it's not going to work for you. We suggest that if you want the Most High footsteps to be your pathway, you must study his word and apply that word when applicable in these modern times. Also, we suggest to help facilitate these studies that you get a new spirit. And what would that new spirit look like? It would be contrite and humble. Also, we suggest that you get you a new heart. What did that new heart look like? Just like King David. The same, very same heart that made him, when Most High said that he's a man after my own heart, which is that loves him, the Most High, with all that heart, mind, soul, and strength, in conjunction, which is very important, your brothers and sisters as yourself. And most important, you must love yourself. You can't love your brothers and sisters if you don't love yourself. That being said, Ima Yehuda, Yemyahu, and Katriel, and Yom Suf HaRif, we don't know where y'all are going, but you finna get ready to get out of here. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom, and good night.